Want to call to order the regular board meeting of the Benton County Commissioners. Today is April 30th, 2024. It's 9 a.m. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, if I can have a motion to approve the April 23rd meeting.
Motion to go ahead and approve the April 30th, 2024 meeting minutes.
You meant April
20th. Excuse me, April. Yeah. Yes.
I knew.
All right. Second.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Review agenda. You have something to add?
Yeah, I would like to add an item to other business for Mr. File.
Okay.
A letter regarding national priorities list.
Okay. Amanda, please, the public comment.
The purpose of the public comment period is to give the audience an opportunity to provide comments to commissioners regarding agenda items or other topics. It is an official on-the-record communication geared toward giving information and opinions to consider in the decision-making process. While the commissioners welcome hearing from you, please note that the public comment period is not an opportunity for dialogue with commissioners or for posing questions with the expectation of an immediate answer. Many questions require an opportunity for information gathering and deliberation. For this reason, the commissioners will accept comments, but will not directly respond to comments, questions, or concerns raised during the public comment period. Audience members who wish to speak should raise your hand to be called upon by the chairman, or virtual participants use the raise hand feature. Come to the podium, or virtual participants unmute your microphone when called upon. State your name and address for the record. And after speaking, write your name and address on the record sheet. Virtual participants do not complete this step. To allow every participant an opportunity to be heard, public comments will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. The chairman will indicate when your allowed time has elapsed. In the interest of running an orderly meeting, we ask that you do not duplicate comments made by a previous speaker. Instead, please simply confirm your agreement with previous statements. When appropriate, the commissioners may refer an item identified during public comments to the county administrator for further action. Please note that if a speaker intends to give commissioners any records of any kind as a part of a presentation, the records must be handed directly to the clerk of the board for distribution.
Okay, thank you. Do you have web access?
I do, yeah.
Okay, good. I forgot to look. Okay, first we'll call Eileen Alexander up, please. You have about 3 minutes.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for having me here. I still have some concerns about our current goals on animal control. One of the things that was not addressed was the fact that even when the shelter is open, if they're full, they will say, "We can't help you. We don't have room." So even though we put 24-hour officers, we still do not have the help that is needed by officers or to be able to detain these dangerous dogs. We have six dedicated spaces for dangerous dogs, and that is Benton County's, you know, one of the things that we pay for is to make sure that we take care of dangerous animals. So I understand the issues and how we are addressing expanding the facility and those kinds of things. But I looked at our population at this time and considered Franklin County, and our population base is pushing Spokane County. I looked at what Spokane County does for their animal control. And I also downloaded their requirements for an animal control officer. I really would like you guys to consider a professional consultant for a large city animal control, because that's what we need. We are not small town anymore. If Commissioner Valdez is interested, I have a copy of the requirements and the duties of their Spokane County Animal Control. And that's all I have to say for right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, here in Prosser, we have Sherry Elizabeth.
Good morning. And I would like to say greetings and peace and truth on behalf of Almighty God. And I stand here today in good faith and state that I do not have any property tax obligation to County of Benton. The absolute fact to support this is the public records request that I made last year for the boundaries for County of Benton under RCW 3604030. This defines the area boundaries of your existence and taxing authority. The farthest your range goes is 24. You're in Township 13. Now, for the public record, I read from the plat map 1-247 recorded in 1979 for Red Mountain Acreage Phase 1, which says that that section of 33, Township 10, range 27 east of the West Meridian. So my land and home is 100% outside of the Benton County boundaries. I'm also letting you know on the public record, my name is officially now trademarked, and I do not have, and you guys, I'm not gonna grant you, your corporation, the offices that I've had problems with, a permissive use of my name on the assessment rolls. So I'd like you to remove that in 3 days, and I'm going to be contacting you by email to set up, because Jerome said previously that we could have a meeting, you guys, the three of you, and to discuss this, because I'm just going by the law, and the law says that you guys, this is your boundaries for 24, and on the plat map that I have you guys made a copy of. Down here, it's really small print, but you can read what the meet and bounds says, what I just said. So Red Mountain, I'm from Red Mountain, so I apologize. I didn't get to say that right off the bat, but I'm on Red Mountain. I'm not in a city. I live right in front of Red Mountain. And I thank you for your time, and I appreciate the concern on this, because it's a very serious matter to be being forced to give money to something that I don't have an obligation to. I pay my taxes on everything I buy, and I already paid the taxes when I purchased the land over 12 years ago. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else here in Prosser wishing to come before the board? Anyone in Kennewick? Don't see anyone. How about any hands raised on line, Mr. McKay? No phones either. Okay, with that, I'll close public comment, and we'll move to the consent agenda. A motion to approve the consent agenda, items A through H.
Chair, I'll make a motion and go ahead and approve the consent agenda, items A through H. Oops. Second.
Sorry. Got my timer set. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes. Next, scheduled business. We have a request for step increase by Mr. Eisinger.
Good morning, commissioners.
Morning.
I asked to put this matter on to ask for a step increase for my therapeutic court prosecutor. And I might start this agenda item just by noting that over the last year, I have not seen many requests like this on just the normal scheduled business. And there may be historical reasons for that, but whatever the reason is, I'm aware that this is an atypical request is being made today. I would say that one of the most difficult parts of the position of being a commissioner is that sometimes you must say no to a request like this. I would say that even more difficult is that sometimes you should say yes, and that's why I'm here today, is that sometimes you should say yes, even if there's a concern that if you were to grant a request that others might come along and make a similar request later on. Because every situation should be judged for what it is, every person, and every situation should be distinguished from another situation and judged based on its facts. So there are three reasons, briefly, that I have that I think that this step increase should be granted. First of all, it's not a reclassification request. Second, it's budget neutral. And third, for reasons I'll describe in a moment, it's appropriate to the circumstances. First of all, as the board knows, you placed a moratorium in place about a year ago regarding reclassifications and pending a cross-county salary study that will produce new job descriptions and new class or potentially new classifications for every position within the county. And this request is not impacted by that moratorium because it asks for a step increase within the same class. So in essence, it's giving an employee a credit for an additional year of service is one way of looking at it. When we make an initial placement on a new hire, as an elected, I have the ability to, under your current resolutions, to both determine a grade and step that's appropriate for a brand new hire as a prosecutor. This simply determines where in the line of steps this particular prosecutor would be or any new hire would be. So this is not prohibited by the moratorium. Second of all, it's budget neutral, so the county will actually save money by granting the request that I brought you here today. I hope you're able to hear that from me. It will actually save money. If the request is granted, it's a budget savings over the allotted amount for this budget line. It's also a budget savings over the amount for the prior prosecutor that occupied this budget line prior to Ms. Chow taking the position. So it's budget neutral as to the line, and it's budget neutral as to the overall budget. Lastly, I think it's appropriate for the circumstances. And one reason I would say that is because our therapeutic courts are one significant way that we will be able to save public defender case points going forward. With the prospect of defender case caps and the possibility of reducing our ability to file down to a third of its current filings, I anticipate that we will use therapeutic courts, diversion programs, and even pretrial or pre-filing diversions more than ever. And for consistency purposes, our offices typically had one prosecutor handle all of our therapeutic courts because that one prosecutor acts as the gatekeeper for those courts. And that's true for the 3 in district court and our adult drug court. So the one prosecutor that handles the 4 programs is Annie Chow. She's been with my office for 11 years. She's taking on increased responsibility. She is responsible for attending staffing meetings, reviewing reports, making decisions regarding who comes into the therapeutic courts, reviewing the progress of defendants in the programs, addressing issues that might result in revocation, handling revocation hearings, and taking these cases all the way to disposition. So with 4 different courts, there is a lot of what I would call plate spinning for this position. There's a lot of different moving parts that are being addressed at any given time. So it's appropriate based on the circumstances due to the increased need for this therapeutic court position and based on her experience. And then lastly, I would just say, moreover, we eliminated, in order to create some room for prosecutor salaries about a year ago, we eliminated a support staff position within the office. And this was one of the positions that received an increase of pay. So the prior prosecutor that held this position, Michelle Morales, when that decision was made, I believe in March, her pay was increased in order to, as an incentive to remain within the office, based on concerns over just difficulty in hiring and retaining prosecutors. And this decision would actually place Ms. Chow at a salary level that would be a savings for the county relative to Ms. Morales. So this is a budget neutral decision. It's not a reclassification, and it's appropriate to the circumstances. Realizing again that this is not, you don't normally get one-off requests by an elected official asking for a one-step step increase. And obviously you have a decision to make here today, but I would suggest to you that based on all of that, that it's the appropriate decision to grant the request. Are there any questions from the board?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just want to go ahead and clarify. So if you're seeing me reach over to Commissioner McKay's screen, it's because I can't pull up my Outlook right now. And okay. I'm looking at some of the information from HR as well in reference to this. So if you're seeing me coming over here, I'm listening to every word you're saying, but I'm also reading at the same time.
No problem. Thank you, Commissioner.
So just to bring up the email, the HR doesn't see the support of the change, in fact, based on experience, but it's out of cycle step increase. So what does that mean? Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get your point and everything, but at the same time, I'm afraid it's going to open the doors to everybody else in the county, and it's going to be, even though you're saying budget neutral, other people are going to be coming to us, and it's not going to be budget neutral. And so it's going to be, well, you did it for Eric, you did it for me then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I hope you see my concern a little bit on that.
I do, and I think that saying no is hard. I think even harder is discerning which situations you should say yes to and which ones you should say no to, and being willing to take that stand on a case-by-case basis based on the circumstances. But I understand that's probably why more of these requests are not being made. But that doesn't mean it's not appropriate. In terms of out of budget cycle, I mean, Ms. Nave is here, but I think what that means is that this request is not just the normal step increase that would happen annually based on adequate performance. Or it's not as a part of a budget proposal, an overall budget biennial proposal.
So I'm going to cheat a little bit, and I'm going to go ahead and put my our HR manager, HR director on the spot and ask her a couple questions as well. If that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. It'll make our life easier. Maybe not hers is so much. So I'm reading through the email and stuff, and I know you were actually, instead of doing a step increase, you were talking to the county prosecutor, maybe doing a DPA-3 instead. And then you also talked to there could be ripple effects as far as the county, and since we're doing this wage and compensation study, could you just enlighten us what your recommendation would be? Because I'm going to listen to HR on these things, because I know there's a lot of different moving parts. Kind of give us some insight.
Certainly. Mr. Eisinger and I did discuss this request, in the normal course. And yeah. I was pretty open with him with the reasons that I did not support it. And really, it is taking that step back and looking at countywide, the potential ripple effects of the one-off, out of cycle position. Mr. Eisinger does have the authority, which not all elected officials have, to make these placements in the different DPA levels. We did discuss that, and I believe he had decided against that at this time based on the development of the individual in the position, DPA but that 3. They were working on a plan, to get them there.
Yep. So for the DPA 3.
Correct.
So I'm pretty transparent, pretty open. Pretty straightforward. The whole reason over a year ago, we had Matt, Jared, and yourself in there. We had a discussion in our conference room. And if you recall, I said I was not looking forward to or not happy about having to do votes on one-offs, because we could see the issue in that. And I was not happy about it. And we had a very blunt discussion. I said, what about doing a wage and compensation study instead of having to do one-offs, because there is a ripple effect. It does hurt the county financially, even if in this case budget neutral. But you have some other options that you can do, like the DPA 3, when you're ready, if you decide to do that. And so to me, it concerns me when we have any issues like this, because it's not fair to the rest of the departments, but also the one-offs are just wrong that we just really can't do it. So once again, I respect you. I respect your office. I respect everything you do. To my core, but I have a hard time when I was the one that actually kind of initiated having come into office and seeing the ripple effects and the problems that caused with not doing it the right way. And we're trying to I think at the county here, one thing we're really doing with a lot of new blood in here and all my two peers here is we're trying to steer the ship in a direction to where we're not like the other counties and going into a financial more financial challenges. We're trying to restore to make it right it back up, and so that we have the opportunity to do the things that you're requesting, everybody else is requesting too. So I appreciate the time, and I'm going to always go ahead and listen to staff. I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to listen to our electeds, and I think I know what I need to do, but I want to let you know my position on it just from a year ago and how it was bothering me here at the county that we were doing one-offs. Would you be fair with that, that we had that conversation about a year ago?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. We had that conversation.
And then I brought it up here.
I got a call. Eric, so on the DPA3, so are you doing that or not doing it? Like, what's your concern about that by going doing DPA3 and then looking for the step down the road?
Yeah, so I am implementing what's called an individual development plan program in my office. Okay. Essentially, instead of just having annual reviews where people are just pulled into a meeting and they don't know what to expect, mm-hmm. we're doing goal setting and then having regular monthly coaching with each employee that leads up to an annual meeting. And so I would anticipate, so I can tell you that Ms. Chow is on will be on the path for the IDP program, and we will be moving in that direction. But I think it's significant that she's taken on this new responsibility. And again, we eliminated a position within the office before. We moved money around to increase funding for this therapeutic court DPA. It's not wrong to say it's neutral, and this was accounted for in the prior decision. And we're actually saving money based on what we were paying Ms. Morales. So I think I hope that answers your question, but those are somewhat different issues.
Then when is our study coming out? How much longer till our study's done?
So the target date has always been in the summertime, okay. Late June. We are on track with that. I had some preliminary data conversations with them last week. They've got a little more work to do with the data before we're ready to share that with department heads, but we are on track.
Okay. let me close. I appreciate, you know, the arguments you made. You're a lawyer, so I appreciate the arguments you make, and certainly that's something I haven't heard before in the past being presented. But I think the three of us are, we have to say no. I don't like being used for that position, but that's what we, we take on, and we agree to that. So I don't think we'll approve the request. That's my sense from you guys. So, again, I appreciate that, your arguments, but I kind of wondered when talking to staff that, you just can't advance to the DPA3. And, what you said is you're on a plan, but they're not quite there yet. But I would hope maybe you could, work on that and put her on that plan and get her up to a DPA3 where you could then, because you can do that. You can advance her to, my understanding, to a DPA3. Did I say that right? DPA3?
That's right. Deputy Prosecuting Attorney.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me acronyms sometimes, but thank you for presenting it. Unless they want to make a motion to approve it or not, no, I just think we're all in agreement. No,
all right, thanks for your time.
Thank you, thank you.
I have one more.
Go ahead.
For HR.
So your microphone, Commissioner. Sorry,
about that.
So, I wanted to make one more thing. I know, Commissioner McKay, you brought him about the way the compensation study when it's going to be completed. One of the big components, and I just want to clarify that to all the departments that are listening, and including all the employees, is once we go ahead and get the report from that vendor in reference to the wage and compensation study, it's not going to be rolled out 100% to everybody, because I've seen that where other counties, when they rolled it out, it can bankrupt the county. We're going to be smarter than that. And so one of the conditions of that was getting a vendor that can go ahead and give us at least three options or a few options on how to phase it in. And as we phase it in, that will affect the departments so that we're not the ones choosing who's going to get raises at first and who's not. We'll actually get that from the professionals that complete the program, correct?
Certainly. And I mean, we will also have some collective bargaining obligations, yep, with that implementation as well. So no, it's not a July 1st implementation if we get the data, at the end of June.
Yep, appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Commissioner. Next, agreement with Washington State Department of Commerce for Premier Crisis Stabilization Grant, Mr. Rasmussen.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
So, We have before you today a grant agreement with the Washington State Department of Commerce. Normally, these type of agreements would just show up on consent agendas. The board's obviously already authorized the application for the grant, but this one does have a significance. It is the first of the grant contracts that we're executing for the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery. So I just wanted to make sure we took an opportunity to acknowledge that this is one of six state grants we have and a federal grant that we're all working through the various contracts for that. But this one expires first, so we got this one ready to go. And as soon as the board executes it, we have some funds that we can build towards this and use that. It's a $1 million grant. We can use that, and it goes directly to the Columbia Valley Peer Center for Recovery project. So just wanted to mark this as a significant milestone in the project that we've all been working on for many years. So any questions?
No, we did receive an email from the prosecutor's office about, again, you know, the issues, especially from the Department of Commerce.
Yeah, there's some.
Their contracts are.
They have some challenges in the way they write them, and they're very reluctant to change them in the time frame.
Right.
This one in particular, the grant, has a very short window that we need to do, and so by the time we could get through their review process to fix some of those issues that the prosecutor identified, we would probably be outside the window to expend those funds. And so he obviously is reluctant, but understands the situation. Yeah. So we'll work on those. On the other ones, we have more time, so we'll see if we can work on some of those issues. Some of them are, like he pointed out, are pretty obvious typographical errors that should just be fixed. But
yeah, they're even reluctant to do those sometimes.
But anyway.
Any questions or motion then?
Nope. You know what? You got to be smiling a little bit more about this because it is a milestone. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and move to approve the agreement between Benton County and the Washington State Department of Commerce for the Premier Crisis Stabilization Grant in the amount of $1 million and authorize the chairman to execute the agreement digitally. Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion passes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Nick, so presentation from the Benton Franklin Recovery Coalition. Just you coming up? Or Nancy following you?
We have four board members here.
We got the crew here.
I'm very hoarse, so excuse me.
You can bring the fourth if you want to come up. Fine. You're good? Okay. Okay.
My name... This is bad.
My name is. Why didn't talk so much yesterday?
That's it. Yeah, I dominated that meeting. So, we are a nonprofit in the county, and I have here Exhibit J of the opioid settlement agreement, which lists 112 potential uses for the opioid settlement money, and among those different uses are for hospitals, telehealth, scholarships for behavioral health students, curriculum development, medicated assistance treatment, access to housing, transportation, recovery high schools, EMS services, pre-arrest and pre-arraignment, diversion programs, recovery courts, officer training, neonatal care for babies born addicted, family support services, enhancements to prescription monitoring programs, media campaigns, public education, drug take-back programs, supporting community coalitions, we kind of like that one, fentanyl screening, data collection, research of many kinds, and outreach to faith communities, and many more uses. So you will no doubt receive multiple requests for this opioid settlement money. And we are concerned about the proliferation of requests both here and in the surrounding counties of Greater Columbia Behavioral Health. However, we have always said that nothing really changes unless you have a place to take people. Which brings me to the Recovery Center. We want to go on record as publicly requesting that this money be used for the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery, along with as much of the 0.1% tax money that you can possibly direct to that facility, giving it priority above other requests. Thank you.
Well, do you want to open up a discussion at this point, or?
I have a slightly different request.
Jason, would you like to talk about the need?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good morning, commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
Michelle, I think, adequately touched on our request today for the for some of the one-tenth dollars and especially the opioid settlement dollars. I have the privilege of also sitting on Dan Newhouse's fentanyl task force, as well as the executive director for the Washington State Alliance of Quality Recovery Residences. I think it's important. I just want to touch on a few statistics. They're currently gripping our area here. In the 1980s, the percentage of individuals aged 12 or older that reported using drugs hovered around 15%. That significantly dropped down to 6% in the 90s. But unfortunately, that has skyrocketed back up to 15% in 2021. At least one in eight teenagers in the U.S. have abused an illicit substance in the last year. Drug use amongst eighth graders has increased from 2016 to current by 61%. Teenagers in the state of Washington are 33.36% more likely to have used drugs in the last month than the average teenager. Just a quick recap over some overdose data. Over the past year, more than 110,000 American lives were lost to drug overdose. More than 4,000 of those lives were lost here in the state of Washington alone. In 2023, there were 93 drug overdoses in Yakima County, 46 in Benton, 40 in Grant, 27 in Franklin, and 22 in Okanagan. This recovery center that we're speaking of bringing to the Tri-City area, as all of you know, will not only benefit the individuals here in Benton, in Franklin County, but in our greater region as a whole. This epidemic of fentanyl that we're seeing is just literally ravaging our communities. A lot of great steps have been made. Matt Rasmussen, a lot of us have, with the Ben Franklin Recovery Coalition, have put forth a lot of effort to raise funds to bring this thing to fruition. We're getting close, but with what I'll call budgetary setbacks, with the implementation, picking different parts within the hospital that various services are going to go, we're going to be short some funds. And I just bring this up as a reminder. Not only do we need this city, not only do we need this here in the Tri-City region for the outpatient services for the crisis stabilization, not to even mention recovery housing that is so desperately needed here. Sure, we have some recovery housing in Tri-Cities, but we're currently hovering at a 1% vacancy rate. Wow. In order to bring all of this stuff to fruition, we're gonna have to push some of these funds that we have coming in from the opiate settlement, from the 1%, to finally be able to get us over that. I thank you for all of your time today.
Nancy, do you
want to go? So I just first of all want to thank you for the cooperation that we've had in working with Benton County Coalition, and the county, I think, represents a unique effort of public and private entities to work towards the same goal. And it's your leadership that has brought us to that position. We've got political parties that have come together. We've got counties that have come together. We have legislators who are working together among these districts. It's really an absolute joy to be a part of this project. Our role as a coalition really now is to raise money for what we're calling betterments. And that would include things within this center that would make people want to stay for 30 days or longer. And things that might not be covered with the grants that we're receiving. So we're looking at things like a fitness center or a family center where we could have families come together and enjoy one another. We have ideas about a library or a computer center, a quiet, contemplative space, those things, and also some outside space that would be, you know, really peaceful for people to come. So all of those things are on our priority list for private donations. But we'd like to do at this point, because we have a few donors who are interested in some major gifts. So we'd like for you to consider, please, naming opportunities. We cannot proceed without your approval. That, for example, if someone comes forward and says, I want to give you X number of dollars to get my name on the fitness center, we'd be able to say, yes, the county has approved that. And so that, in addition to costs, working with you to memorialize other gifts within the facility. I think it would be very uplifting for those who come in as patients to see at the entryway names of folks who really support their journey. And so we would like to work with you in memorializing these gifts in some way. But first of all, to approve naming opportunities in a few key locations within the facility. That's what we're requesting.
And I know Michelle sent a letter. I got one. I'm sure some of you guys did. Because, and then I've talked to Matt, and you know, I don't personally have any reservations about it, being able to name, you know, rooms or, you know, donations. And I've always thought I'd like to see some kind of a donor wall somewhere, you know, when you walk into the place, that, you know, people can do that. As you say, Nancy, I think we're on I'll let the other two say there. I don't have an issue with naming. I mean, naming rights. I don't know if there's something legal we got to figure out or something. I don't know. Possibly. Who knows with today's legalities. But on the opioid settlement funds, what makes sense to me, and talking to Matt, I mean, if we get some lump sum payments, I can see putting those into the construction. Ongoing payments, though, I don't, you know, maybe use that for, this is my thinking, use that for ongoing operational costs, and maybe that frees up some of the 1/10 money that we can maybe look at and say, okay, maybe we can put that into construction. You know, having conversations with Matt, and I think Matt's had the conversation with you guys, is that, you know, you were at the meeting yesterday, Michelle, where we're, you know, talking with the architect engineers and the construction and where they're at. We're getting close to now, maybe in a month or two, we might even have, you know, some designs, technical things that can go start permitting. But I think, you know, once we get those, then maybe it's, we can go and say, okay, we got, you know, whatever that amount is, X amount, as you said, we can go to the contract and say, okay, what do we get for this more, you know, instead of letting them put that into, you know, because we're talking about some areas, you know, the priority list that we've given, and I think you've been involved in that priority list that they have, the contractors have, is being able to say them, you know, and let them move some of those things up, some of those benefits that we've asked for, that they can move some of those up when they really get into the details about the drawings and what they can do for the dollars allocated, then may, I don't know, timing wise, maybe that's the time. Okay, we got X amount of dollars. What do we get for that? You know, I mean, there's some, and so we need to look at that. I mean, and I'm willing to spend that money on that construction because there's some things that, that they're going to have to do anyways, just because the permitting with the city of Kennewick, you heard that yesterday, that they're going to have the fire, what do they call it, life safety, you know, in the whole building, right? So maybe with some added dollars, we can, you know, maybe have some more treatment rooms in that one area that we looked at, or maybe we can keep that hallway open so we can get the opportunity kitchen in there earlier than, you know, for food. I mean, so there's things. You know, and then, I appreciate you guys giving a lot of thought to that and you know, wanting to go out there and ask the community, because you're certainly better poised to do that than three. I mean, if you can get $50 million, I'd really appreciate $50
million.
No problem. But, you know, and I appreciate Jason going back to D.C. with us and help, you know, asking for that request, using our lobbyists, you know, to ask that request for to put housing in there. You know, I think would you ask 7-8 million or something?
Oh yeah, three. Yeah, I think
three. Oh yeah, three. Right. You know, so you know, that's a good start. So appreciate that. So
I'm all for the names too and stuff. Do we, on the contracting side, are we doing it as design build or is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Matt?
And Michelle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have a design build contract with Boughton Construction.
Okay, perfect.
And so they are working through that. We met with them yesterday, and we're getting close to the end of what they call the validation phase, which is they're going to give us a they gave us a program, they call it. So basically, here's the things that you've asked for. Here's what we can deliver, the amount of space we can deliver. And then they're going to get down to here's the price that we believe we can deliver that for. And so we expect they're supposed to deliver that on May 15th, the validation pieces. That's going to give us the first look at that. We're going to have to look at it, digest it for a couple of weeks and go back and forth with them and narrow down that scope. And once we have that, then we'll start working on the schematic design. And through that process, we will narrow down that maximum price. And so I think, as Jerome was saying there, once we have that maximum price, that's when we should go back to them and say, okay, if we want to add more treatment rooms so that we can get away from double occupancy, tell us how much that will cost, and then we can decide if we want to add those dollars into that versus it just going into a big pot of money that we don't really know exactly what we're getting for it. And I'm not saying that Boughton's doing anything. You know, they're on board 100% with this process. They want to get to that piece so that they can start building from that. They carry some contingencies in these projects that they want to start being able to put back into the project because they're very much supportive and want to see this happen. And so, yeah, that's kind of that.
So with that, though, so we'll like, so say they do a change order stuff. We're going to see, like, you know, okay, cost about $10,000 plus their markup is going to be that plus their markup, not $50,000.
So the way this works.
Like, I just want to make sure we're going to be seeing, so we can keep this under, like, try to keep this as tight as possible because it needs to get going. Right. But we're trying to find the funds to make it work.
The way this works is once they give us that guaranteed maximum price, they're going to have a scope of work that they're going to deliver for that. Uh-huh. There are no change orders. They will give us that for that price.
Okay.
The only time there'd be a change is if we asked for it. We said we want to add something.
Okay, good.
Or we want to change something. So that's the beauty of the design build process that we're using is we eliminate that whole, hey, we didn't know this is happening. Hey, if you didn't know, sorry, that's on you. You told us you're giving us this for that amount.
Because I just, with it being an existing building, I'm afraid the only thing that makes me concerned being a contractor on my side, you know, tearing down a wall or something. Oh, crap. That's not, you know, that structural steel is supposed to be there. So town's falling apart. So, that you know, like when I'm doing construction, I'll come to you as the owner and say, hey, we just found this. This is going to probably cost us about $4,000 or $2,000, you know, but we'll just bill you. Okay, it took my guys 2 weeks to take it out. I'll bill you whatever it costs. You know what I'm saying? Like that type of stuff.
So and we get to see all that. They're going to show us all of it. They show us all their costs, everything that they spend. Okay. And that's why they carry some of that contingency. Yeah. So if they hit those unknowns, they have money already in their guaranteed price.
The beauty is
we get through those phases and we say we get through structural and they don't spend as much money as they thought, that money goes back into more pieces of the project.
Yeah, well, they've had electricians.
Yeah, they have electricians, plumbers, mechanical. They're going through that.
Yeah, roofers. HVAC people, they've been having all the trades crawling through that place to make
they're
sure.
They're doing destructive testing. They're opening up walls and looking at things. I mean, they're really going through it.
So that's perfect things. I mean, that's how I do on the private sector versus they're doing.
Right.
This process that we're going through.
Really I'm excited for it. Let's get it going.
No, I did want to add a few other things that are kind of along the lines of what the coalition here is talking about when we're talking about the funding. One thing we're working on is with all the cities. So right now it's Kennewick, Pasco, and Richland. They're the other cities in our area that are getting opioid settlement funds. So we're working on an interlocal agreement with them. Kennewick is actually going to be signing theirs here pretty soon. So they're ready to do that, ready to move forward. Richland has indicated that they have a few minor changes they want to make. That doesn't sound like it's significant. And they want to move forward with that. And Pasco also, their council is in support and ready to go with that. So they all want to see their funds go into the recovery center.
Yeah.
They are not particular about whether it's construction or operations, but that's where they want to see it. They believe that's the need in the community and how they want to support it is to dedicate those dollars. We do have a settlement that we're going to be bringing the participation agreement next week for the board that'll be a one-time lump sum payment that could be used for construction. We've also gotten a few settlement payments so far. And since we aren't using those for operations, those could be used for construction. And so we're talking about having some extra dollars here to make sure we fill some of the gaps that we're starting to see develop as we go through this. Because remodeling this building's costing more. I mean, you're in the business. You know how much more it costs to meet new energy codes and all of these things. And so you know, we've been developing this for the last 4.5 years. The cost has crept up the longer we go into it. And so,
but we're still, like, design-wise and permitting, we're still a good probably 6 months out before we even start.
They're hoping to have the schematic design done in August, and they will be starting construction right around that time.
So we'll be able to get a temporary permit or whatever, yeah, to at least get going on some of it.
They'll start the demolition and those kind of things and the structure and start working. Okay. So they'll be progressing the final design and the construction at the same time. Okay. So then also we did want to touch on the 0.1% tax. County so far collected roughly $10 million on that. And we're going to be dedicating $5.5 to $6 million to help bring this budget up to get to where we need that minimum level that we need to have. And then we can have that discussion once we get to the point of, hey, here's the minimum program we're going to get. I think we really should be having those. Is how many more rooms would we like to add? Or do we want to add some other, a family room or the kitchen or things like that? And that's going to be a great time. And there's dollars that could be available for that, especially if we look at, for the next 15 years, we're going to be getting some of these annual payments from these opioid settlements. I like Jerome's idea. Let's offset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put those into operations. Our money's a little easier to spend. It's a little freer, less restrictions. And so we can do some of those other things with that dollars.
So one last little question. When you said kitchen and stuff, are we able to reuse the locate? We're laying it out to where we're using some of the existing rooms to help save.
That's their current plan. The plan that they've come back with lately is they're going to reuse as much of the existing layout as possible.
Perfect. Okay.
I mean, there's obviously some things they have to do and change, but
they might put new countertops on.
I get that, like new doors or windows, and
They're really trying hard to keep everything.
Anti-ligature.
So
ligature. They have to put those type of.
And
Is it ceiling tile in the building? Right.
Some places it is, and some places it's hard lid.
Required to hard lid.
And most of the spaces that we have is going to be required to hard lid.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah. Okay. Cool.
Michelle? Just real quick, I won't redo everything they said. I agree with it all. As far as putting a name on a room, I'm all for that 100%. But let's go ahead and get us some suggestions on those dollar amounts for that so we have a plan. And then as far as a donor wall or bricks or whatever we need to do, I've seen that in bigger cities, I've seen that in smaller cities and stuff. So if we can go ahead and provide additional funding for the programs that you guys have mentioned, I know you did a fundraiser a couple months ago. I think that's outstanding, and that will help families to come in, it'll help ease things. So I'm on board.
Thank you, Commissioner. Our timeline is that as soon as we get a rudimentary drawing, so within the next month or so, we may not have detailed drawings, but the architect has said we'll have something very basic that we could take to donors. And our timeline is like by mid August, we'd like to be able to celebrate some major gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could get your approval, formally today, that would be outstanding. And I mean, we can get those dollar amounts to you, but at least in the concept mm-hmm. that we could mm-hmm. offer.
I don't know, Nancy, if we have to do a resolution or something, or I mean, we're all on board, or
we have a memorandum of agreement with the Recovery Coalition about donations.
Okay.
Maybe the best thing to do there would be to add or amend that to.
Okay. Maybe we can get that done in a week or two.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's okay. I think that's a good fourth step.
Yep. That way it's formalized.
Yep.
That would be great.
Thanks for doing what you do, because this needs to happen.
You're right.
Thank you so much for all you do. Your leadership has been absolutely essential. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wouldn't happen without the community.
Yep.
Well, it wasn't going to happen without the community.
That's for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time to come here. Any other business, Mr. Kay? Anything else?
No.
Mr. Albert?
You know I do. I'm going to try to go ahead next week. I will be silent. How about that?
Yeah, I don't care.
But I want to go ahead.
To make a motion to silence Commissioner Albert for next meeting.
But I want to go ahead and, because we don't get to talk offline, or is. I know. I believe you listened. There was we had a wellness workshop or presentation yesterday. I went down there to go ahead and say I want to do a workshop on this, but ended up actually speaking in reference to a wellness program for the sheriff's officers, sheriff's deputies. I don't think it's a bad thing on some of the items or the vendor that they actually had online that I listened to. I do look at is that investment going to just be are deputies going to be able to, are they going to actually use it, and what the accountability is, and what is the HR side of it? There's a lot of different caveats still we have to go through, but I'm going to contradict myself in 1 second. I think there is a funding source for that. I will pass that on to staff and see what their ideas are along with HR,
and the deputy administrator and the administrator, and they can kind of disseminate that, whatever they want to do. But I think they'll agree to agree it's a simple way to fix that solution. And if it helps deputies get back on their feet, I'm 100% for that. But we have some accountability and some of the caveats we have to do on that. That being said, just wanted to let you know, because I'm a big-time supporter of doing workshops. I'm used to doing that in the past. I think that way we can all hear what we're all thinking of, and can ask different questions, and the public can hear that. One last thing real quick. We're going to be going into our biannual for the county here pretty soon. We're going to be, I know the staff's going to be working very hard on that. Consumer spending, when I'm looking at consumer spending on a national basis, most of that consumer spending is based off fuel, gas, and groceries. So when they're talking about stagflation, they ever did econ classes, which I didn't like. Stagflation is not a good thing. And I noticed we got an email and that our sales tax revenue, or our revenue, was down for the month of April. And it was down enough to go ahead and actually, that wasn't down enough that it had, that would affect two full-time county employees with benefits. That's pretty significant for the whole year. So I know as we go through that, we're definitely going to have to be tenacious. And I keep on saying this so that the county is, if we be proactive now, a little bit of pain now will not be a whole lot of pain here in the next 4 years. So I know we're going to have to work hard on trying to figure this out. I don't want to be like some of the other counties that I'm starting to see kind of having those financial challenges, dipping in emergency funds, those type of things like that. So we have definitely work to do, and we're going to have to work with our elected officials and all the departments to reallocate funding so that if we do it now, we can, you know, weather that storm when the economy does better, and we'll be much healthier for it. So I keep on sounding that alarm. We need to fix this. It's going to be challenging, and I'm looking forward to it. We'll be proactive and get it done.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Real quick, I agree with what you're saying, too. And when you were talking, too, a thought popped my head. Like, it's really making me sweat for, was it 2025 when the court cases start dropping or whatever? I mean, I see one of the judges here on Zoom as well and stuff, and I'm just, it's going to be a crapshoot on how budgeting and stuff down the road, and trying to keep the courts going and keep the roads safe, our neighborhoods safe and everything. And so I'm glad we're moving with the coalition, with you guys, what you guys are doing. And but yeah, budget wise and stuff down the road is going to get really tough and frustrating.
We're going to look good. I have a positive outlook. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and be just fine, but Thanks. It's going to be a little bit of
free.
We're going to have to be a little tenacious this year.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. File, you have your.
Oh.
That's all right, Commissioner. I'm used to being ignored and kicked to the side.
Why don't you let him up and bring 25 slots?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I forgot about that. Here.
You jinxed
it. I have one slide, and I emailed this last week. The reason I'm here under other business is because we got this request later in the week, last week, after our deadline for getting on the agenda. This was this is a letter that kind of came from WASAC and some of the counties up in northeastern Washington regarding Lake Roosevelt. The Environmental Protection Agency, that's who the letter's to, is proposing to put cleanup of Lake Roosevelt on the national priorities list, which is the formal name for Superfund, which you've probably heard of. And this is a letter opposing that. This is kind of a pile-on letter where they kind of get everybody to send, essentially the same letter. And the reason for that is that there's been an ongoing study up there about does Lake Roosevelt really need to be on the national priorities list. And so far, that study hasn't really revealed that that's quite the case. But the feeling is that EPA is seeing some funding coming down the pike and wants to put it on the list to be able to access that funding. And the communities up there are saying, no, we don't need to jump that gun yet. If when the studies are concluded, if it's something that we need to cross that bridge, we'll cross it then. We don't want to put this on the Superfund list. Let's see what happens. So that's all the letter is, Commissioner. I provide it to Amanda for you to sign if you so wish. Any questions about what this is about?
This is Lake Roosevelt. I was up there a couple years ago, so they're trying to clean it up. It didn't look that bad. Is it getting worse, or what's going on?
Well, that is kind of downstream of a lot of old mining and other industrial activity. So the concern there, what's happened is sediments and stuff in Lake Roosevelt and things behind Grand Coulee Dam have concentrations of sediment that might need a high level of attention. And so far, I don't think that all the study that's been done is necessarily showing that just yet. And EPA is perhaps anticipating that it might, and this is an opportunity to kind of get out ahead of it. And what we're saying is, no, you don't need to get out ahead of it. Let's see what the evaluations.
That makes sense. Yeah. You know,
reveal.
Yeah, I asked them. I'm on that Columbia River. What do you call it?
Caucus. Yep. Yeah.
So that's why. So, do you need a motion to?
Yeah, I think just a motion to sign the EPA letter.
The EPA letter. For us to sign the EPA letter.
Very simple. Okay. Yeah. Motion to approve. The Bend County Commissioners to sign the EPA
regarding the
you're on it.
Upper Columbia River.
I'll second that. There you go. We put it together.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam. Hey, look, we got that one letter for what's his name retiring, right?
That's already been sent.
Yep.
Yeah, they said that Paul said they didn't get it.
Well, Paul got sent late last week, so you might not have it yet. Oh. Back in email.
Oh, okay.
I'll do that.
Thanks, Adam.
I told him we were on board.
Adam, you'll never be ignored again.
Okay. Yeah,
I'll be over. Anything else? Josie, anything? Any electeds in there in Kennewick? I don't can't see.
I see Mr. Spencer.
Mr. Spencer's there.
I think he's taking a nap. Is he taking a nap? Oh, no, he's awake. He's laughing. He's awake. All right.
Nothing else to come before the board, then meeting adjourned. Thank you.